all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be competent or complete, equipped for every good work. So that already sounds pretty important, you know. Who doesn't want to be competent or complete, equipped for every good work? We're in a pretty unique position here, sitting in this church as Christian people, especially in a cool church. Something I think, you know, we like to say a lot, or we hear a lot, and it's true, is, you know, we can say Christianity isn't about religion. It's about having a relationship with God. And this is so true. Other religions don't get to say this. No one else gets to lay claim to this but us. We have God living inside of us, actively at work in us, bringing us to salvation and completion, making us better people. So it's a very important relationship. And relationships are important. Relationships with friends, family, work colleagues, partners, enemies even. They help us grow. They help us learn. They help us mature. How much more will a relationship with God, the creator of the universe and the author of life, how much more is that going to benefit us? Everyone in this room is going to have their own personal relationship with God. And it's all going to look different, the way you hear from him, the way you speak to him, how your life looks like with him. But the Bible is a way in which we all have access to God. And, you know, we're on a level playing field. We've all got the Bible. If you're struggling to hear from God or start to recognize who God is, what he's like in his voice, it's a great place to start. Imagine, I was thinking about this the other day. Imagine, and some of you do, imagine you're living every single day, every single second of your life with someone. It could get pretty annoying, or, you know, but it's going to be an important relationship. If they're always there, they're probably someone worth getting to know better. Like in human relationships, our knowledge of each other and our understanding of each other's idiosyncrasies and how we work should be evolving, growing, expanding, and getting better, you know? If you live every day with someone, if you're married to someone, you live in a house with someone, you've got a best friend or whatever, and your knowledge of each other and the depth of your communication hasn't changed in the past like 5 years, or it's not on a significantly better level, then you're probably, you know, neglecting that relationship, or you're not putting enough time and effort into it. Again, with God, we've got a relationship, so it goes two ways. God's not just some father off in another town that you want to go to when you need money or whatever. You know, it's someone that you should be having a relationship with every day, or it will benefit you if you do. God's someone we need to spend time with, and he's worth getting to know. This person that we do happen to spend every single second of our lives with has also been so good as to write us a book. Imagine if people did that. It might make things easier sometimes. You know, he's written all about his likes, his dislikes, his history, what he wants for you, how much he loves you, and his best advice, wisdom, and encouragement that he can give you, which also happens to be the best wisdom, advice, and encouragement you could ever get from anyone. Yeah, imagine if people did that. It could make relationships a lot easier if you wrote everything out for each other and you had to, you know, you had a reference to go back to. He really hasn't forsaken us. But this is a lot more than just a book. I remember when I first became a Christian. Mum had become a Christian before me, and for some time I was starting to look into it. I was like, oh yeah, it might be, this sounds interesting. Mum brought me the book of Proverbs as like a standalone book. And I remember very clearly when I was sharing my testimony with other people, because when you become Christian, it's like, oh my gosh, I need to tell everyone. I've got to save all my friends. And I remember very clearly saying that this book that I was reading felt more than just a book. Anytime I would have a thought about, you know, okay, if I believe this, where does this fit in with Christianity? If God's real, where's this going to fit in? And I'm sure other people have experienced similar things. I would open up Proverbs, and what I was thinking of, you know, I wouldn't even go to the book to look for it, but I'd just, you know, turn around, pick up the book, and I was like, oh, it's just thinking of that. It's like it's reading my mind or something, and it kept, like, answering all my questions. But yeah, it felt more than it was just like I was reading a book. It actually felt like it was speaking to me, or that God was speaking to me through it, and that it was alive, and that I actually had like a relationship with the book, which is really God. You know, not that the book's God, but you know, it felt like a relationship. And this was really weird. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The enemy doesn't want you in the Bible. If you pick up this Bible and you read through it, you're going to find out just how useless and powerless the enemy is against us with God, because we have God. You know, we've got God. It's not just an if. We do have God, and the enemy is powerless against us. Be aware, you know, be wide awake, because like it says in the Bible, the enemy doesn't sleep on you. But luckily, we've got something far more powerful than what's trying to assail us. We've got God. Who God is, his word, it crushes the enemy. So pick up your sword. These are your lessons in like defense against the dark arts. If you're struggling, if you're lonely, depressed, angry, sad, whatever, pick up the Bible. One of my favorite parts in the Bible is Philippians? Yeah. Philippians 4. 12 to 13, it says, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And this is often misquoted. It's not like, if I believe hard enough because I got Jesus, I can fly if I jump off this building or whatever, you know. It doesn't always mean you're going to be successful. But what this is really talking about is that when we learn about the life of Jesus, whose words have been immortalized, he promised that they're not going to fade away. They've been brought to us in this book. When we learn about his life and what Jesus went through, all the suffering and the fact that he's been tempted in every way as we have, we can do all things because he lives inside of us and he's working in us. And, you know, and it's an encouragement. You can look back and it's like, man, if he can go through that, I can go through that because he's with us. Yeah, I really think that, like, the absolute wealth of prayers, psalms, encouragements and different scriptures in here, it's going to help you in every situation. Another one, yeah, it's going to help you see and feel and know God better in your life. Another one that I really love is Psalm 27. At the start of it, in 1 to 3, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident." No matter how you're feeling, if you're having a good day, if you're having a bad day, if if you're happy, excited, sad, whatever, no time is going to be wasted getting into the Bible and knowing God. None of it's wasted. Don't neglect this amazingly unique opportunity where the author of life has written us a book for us to get to know him and ourselves better. Don't neglect this opportunity, you know, to get in there and know him and get stronger in that. A quote I really liked by C.S. Lewis, and it was one of the ones that I kind of first learned and kind of made me take things more seriously, is C.S. Lewis said, "If Christianity isn't true, it's of no importance. If Christianity is true, it's of the most importance. The only thing it can be is somewhat important." If you want to know God better, if you want to know what God sounds like, who he is, pick up the phone. This is opening a line of communication between you and God. Yeah, pick up the phone and get to know him. Get to know his voice and what God is like. If I can, leave you with one thing today, is one more scripture. In Psalm 1, so the first part of the Psalms, Psalm 1-3, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." And this is what I really like. "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." So I'm just like to pray for you guys today as well after this. Thanks for listening. Dear Lord, thank you that you brought us all into this room today safely, and that we get to enjoy each other's company and fellowship, and that we get to know you, God, and that you've revealed yourself to us, and that you take care of us in our lives, and that you want to know us and you want us to know you better. Thank you for your love. And just in this coming week, Lord, as we go out into our communities, I just pray that you'd walk with us and before us, and that in everything we do, Holy Spirit, you would guide us so that other people would see you through us and would be drawn to you and would come closer into relationship with you. And yes, so please bless everyone in this room today, Father. I hope they took something out of it. And just please speak to them and help them hear your voice, Lord. So in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome, bro. Good job.
Cool.
Hey. I expect that every week. Excellent job, Sam. So, really what we're doing this year and in the beginning is we're trying to start off the year by just hitting some DNA markers for this church. Some sort of obvious characteristics, character traits that we as a church have, starting with a foundation in the Word of God, the Bible. As, you know, Sam quoted, you know, it's living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It quoted out of Timothy that it's profitable for a rebuke, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Guys, I want to lack nothing. But here's the deal. See, we start with the Word, but we're still going to go on and hit a few other markers in who we are as a fellowship. Because, and I just wanted to share that a scripture that had occurred to me this week as I was sort of praying about this and what the Word means, and it's kind of a warning that I think we need to be aware of in John. Well, somewhere in John. John chapter 5. Verse 39, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders, to the Pharisees, to the people who had decided to supplement relationship with form. They decided to try to create a paint-by-numbers relationship with God. It doesn't work, guys. Relationship is developed through getting to know people. Sam made that point. And it starts with a book, but our relationship with God doesn't end in the book. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus said to them as a warning, these religious leaders, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Whoa, what? That's a big statement. You search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. He says, but these are they which testify of me. See, at the end of the day, Jesus is saying is that, man, you search the scriptures, but make sure that as you search the scriptures, you understand that the place that you're going to end up is in relationship with Jesus, doing things for Jesus. Jesus just doesn't want you to understand love. He wants you to be loving. You get that, right? He doesn't just want you to understand that miraculous things used to happen. He wants you to go and do likewise. He doesn't just want you to understand that compassion is a good virtue. He wants you to be compassionate. So make sure that we understand that these things that we're talking about, the Word of God, it testifies of Jesus. And ultimately, we need to be more like Him. So Father, I thank you for what you're doing and showing us these characteristics, these traits of who we are as a fellowship, Father God, of who so many other Christians are. And ultimately, that you would help us to see the face of your Son more clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just stand and worship. Let's stand and worship, guys.